Hallelujah. Let somebody who is joyous in the house shout the biggest hallelujah. Say loud, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Louder, let heaven hear it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Your Bible are up again. Your Bible, Lord. Okay, we go together. This is my Bible. I believe in it. I believe every word in this Bible as the revelation of God to me. I submit myself to the authority of this world. My life is guided and instructed as I obey this word. As I read this word and meditate on it, I receive strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I am not weak. I am not feeble. My joy does not depend on circumstances. My joy does not depend on a place. My joy does not depend on times. My joy depends on the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. A big amen. God bless you. Please be seated. We already had a wonderful exposition this morning through the review of the devotional. In fact, that's enough sermon for today. Am I right? I feel like not saying anything again. Today, Pastor, you have done well. So he has even gone beyond the devotional. But when he was saying it, I doubt you have you ever worked in a ceramic industry before? You've worked there before. Oh, no wonder. No wonder. Hallelujah. He got so deep telling us so much about the ceramic, the workings of the ceramic. Thank God for our lives. Thank God for grace that we have the God, we serve the God of second chances. He does not throw us off. He rewrites the story of our lives. When men say it's over, when men talk about the end, God preaches, come back. They come back. He redesigns our lives and makes us to be what He has planned us to be. The only thing that can hinder His move in our lives is when we refuse to submit to His discipline. When we refuse to submit to His working in our lives. When the clay refuses to submit to the potter's hand, especially through spinning, that clay will never fulfill its purpose. But as we submit to Him, He makes us what He wants us to be. I am God's working project. He has not ended. He has not surrendered me. He has not finished with me yet. I want you to say it after me. I am God's working project. He's still working in me. He's not through with me yet. He has not submitted the project. He has not rounded up the project. I am that project. God is still working in me. I still have a future. It doesn't matter what my past looked like. God is working in me. As I surrender, He will bring out the best out of my life. A big amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy provokes supernatural strength. That's the title of this message this morning. Joy is not an emotion. It is a weapon. Not an emotion, but a weapon. This joy we are talking about is not something that depends on circumstances, something that depends on a place where you are. If you are in America, you're going to be joyful. If you go to London, you're going to be happy. You're going to be joyful. Now, if you are in an air-conditioned room, you're going to be joyous. Now, the joy we were talking about is not dependent on a place. It's not dependent on circumstances. It's not dependent on outcomes. Oh, when the result comes out and I pass, I'm going to be joyous. When I get promoted, I'm going to be joyous. When I make a good profit at the end of the year, I'm going to be joyous. No. This joy is not dependent on outcome. That's why Paul could write in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 4, if it was dependent on outcome and dependent on a place, he wouldn't have said what he said. He said, we go, rejoice in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. He was writing from the prison, under the Emperor Nero prison. It was such a terrible prison that no one who would be there will be able to stretch. Right inside the prison, locked up with that terrible condition, Paul could write, rejoice again, rejoice. So it is not the joy that comes as an emotion. No. We have one of the familiar scriptures we also used last week. From the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. It was in a bad out situation. The people of Israel had a bad outcome. War harvest. The situation was bad in Israel. And the prophet came by the word of the Lord and said, now, even though you never expected the result you have, is not the result you expected. Even though the profit you have is not the profit you expected. What you heard about your medical result was not what you expected. The medical result tells you something that looks unpleasant. Your exam tells you something unpleasant. That was not. You did much. And you expected better the result than this. The business atmosphere changed and suddenly has affected your business, not what you expected. Even the behavior of your children, not what you expected. Oh, I've stayed this way. I never expected that by now I would still be unmarried. Not what I expected. I've stayed for this long. I never expected by now I wouldn't have my child or my children. Not what I expected. By now, I never expected that I would not have my own, I would not be in my own house, my personal house. By now, not what I expected. By now, I expected my plan was that my business, I should be expecting to have to expand my business. But this is not what I'm seeing. I expected more than this. And I thought I put in more. I planned for this. I did feasibility study. I consulted, but not what I expected. I expected by now I should have gone far. By now I should still not be where I am. I should have gone further in my academic pursuit. Maybe I should be in the higher institution by now. Not what I expected. By now I expect my children to be married, but not what I expected. That was the situation for the people of Israel when Prophet Habakkuk brought the word. He said, though the fig tree do not blossom, nor there be fruit on the vine, the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. Though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall. With all the woes, with all the disappointments, with all the failures, he said, yet. Everybody say yet. In spite of all this, even with these challenges, even with these failures, even with this medical report that I've just received, even with this doctor's report, the doctor just said this to me, even with this doctor's report, even with the unpleasant situation around me, by now, I should have gone far. Yet, made up his mind, I will do what? I will rejoice. I will not rejoice, not because I have a good result, not because I have a clean report, medical report, not because my children are doing well alone, not because my business is booming. No, none of all of this. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Friends, joy is not about what happened to you. Joy is about who God is. It is not about what happened, but about who God is. It's not about what happened. It is about who God is. I rejoice not because there is a breakthrough for me. I rejoice not because I got married at the right time. I rejoice not because my children are doing well. No, I'm not rejoicing because of that. I'm rejoicing because of who He is. Because whom God is. You are who you are. Yesterday, today and forever. What is it? Is what you do. Ayaraba Santa Leba. You never change. Faithful to me. Faithful God. I worship you. Ayaraba Santa Leba. I worship you. To fail me. Even though I cannot see the victory blossoming,
you're too faithful to disappoint.
Even though the labor of your lips shall fail,
you've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to redeem. You are too faithful to fail me.
We going to take it one more time. You're too faithful to fail me.
You're too faithful to fail me.
Jesus, you're too faithful to fail me.
You're too faithful to disappoint me.
You've proven yourself.
You've proven yourself in my life.
And I've come to realize.
You're too faithful to fail me.
We're going to take the first part. You are who you are. I love that part.
You are who you are.
Yesterday.
Today, forevermore.
What you say is what you do. Palabra Santa Alba. Of who God is, I will rejoice in Yeshua, the God. Is not just I will rejoice in Jehovah Nissi, rejoice in Jehovah El Shaddai, but I'm going to rejoice in Yeshua, the God of my salvation. The God who is able to save me from these messes. The God who is able to save me from these disappointments. The God who is able to save me from these challenges. The God who is able to raise me up again. You know what Abraham did? The Bible says concerning Abraham, when he, after God justified him, you know, God told him to go and slaughter his only son. The Bible says something come out concerning him, that because he believed that that same God could raise, the one who gave him, could also raise him from the dead. Friends, listen to this. The reason why you praise him when others say, other people say, why are you doing that? It is because you know whom God is. You have a personal revelation of who God is. A personal revelation of whom God is. James chapter 1 from verse 2. My brethren, count it what? All joy when you fall into various trials, when you fall into challenges, when others think you should be bowing down your head in shame, in pain. The word of the Lord says, count it all joy When it appears after you have prayed, there's no result, people are seem to be mocking you. After all, she goes to church. After all, he goes to church. What can he show for it? What can he show for it? Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various diverse trials. Next verse. Know ye. You got to know like Abraham knew. Everybody say know ye. You got to know like Abraham knew that same God who gave him that son after 25 years of marriage, if he said, I should kill this son, that same God is able to raise him up from the dead. Know ye, you gotta know. Know ye. That's why you'll be joyous when there is no reason for you to be joyous. That's why you rejoice when there is no reason to rejoice. That was why Paul rejoiced even in the prison of Emperor Nero, where there was no reason to rejoice, and he could write, rejoice, I say again, rejoice. You gotta know that God in the midst, God can turn a trash around. God can turn messes around. Can turn messes into messages. He can turn trials into triumphs. He can turn pains into praises. He can turn disadvantages into advantages. He can turn messes into miracles. Know ye that the trying of your faith works patience. And patience produces, look at the next. Let patience now have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In the midst of this trial, God is bringing into your life maturity. In the midst of the trial, God is bringing into your life strength, stamina. Friends, listen to this. The strength we are talking about is not brute strength. It's not, oh, my muscle, I'm strong. That's not the strength we are talking about. We are talking about the strength to stand and to keep on pressing on in the times of trial. We are talking about the strength that makes you to keep your position even in the midst of the challenges. We are talking about the strength after waiting for 5 years and you expected to have a child and it doesn't disturb you, you are still vibrant and jumping in the church in your different activity. That's the strength. We are talking about a strength after waiting that, oh, by this time I should be married. Marriage is not there yet. Nobody is coming. Yet you are still vibrant. People are watching. What is making me to be happy? They cannot understand. There's a strength in you, supernatural strength, that keeps you moving on. The strength, when it appears as if your business is not booming like you expected, that didn't make you to draw behind. You are still active and serving the Lord and working for the Lord. That's the strength we're talking about. That's why the scripture says in the book of Proverbs chapter 24 verse 10, if you fail in the days of adversity, it means your strength is what? What makes, let me refer to Abraham. What made Abraham to wait for 25 years was strength, spiritual stamina. What made Joseph to wait for 13 years for the fulfillment of that dream was spiritual strength. Strength. Not the physical sense, strength. If you faint in the days adversity, it means your strength is small. In other words, in the days of adversity, if you keep on pushing on and moving forward and jumping and keep serving the Lord, it means your strength is great. Knowing that trial produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What makes you, after having your result, that medical result, the doctor's report, and you keep on dancing, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, praise the Lord. I said, what is wrong with you? Take on me, Oshie, with this medical report. That's strength. In the days of challenges, if you faint, it means you lack strength. But the Bible tells us in the book of Nehemiah that we read our text, after the people heard the word of the Lord, sorrow came into their heart. They were sad. And the word of the Lord came through Nehemiah and said, hey, oh guys, this is not the day of sorrow. Come on. Rejoice. Begin to rejoice. God is happy with us. That is our strength. There's a strength. You know, joy sustains you and produces strength in you to overcome challenges of life. Joy sustains you and produces strength in you to overcome the challenges of life. When your tenant comes, when your landlord comes and tells, oh man, you got to pack out of this house. Why? Not because you have not paid your bill. I want to use the house. My children are coming, you got to leave. And you don't even have money to go and pay for 1 year. You don't have a house to move into. One of my senior, uncle, shared this wonderful testimony. It just occurred to me as I'm talking with you now. He was working in the bank in America. Was in the audit department, senior audit department. And one day, you know, in America, you talk about bills. If you don't work, nothing works for you. It's not like here that we can sleep. You can finish from work 2 o'clock and go and sleep. Yeah, if you don't work, nothing works for you. You have to work. Some people have to work three jobs to pay bills. Lo and behold, his wife is not working. And he's taking care of his children. His house rent is there. Mortgage is there. A number of things there. And suddenly, they came and announced to him. And said, I think the executive manager wants to see you or something like that. The CEO wants to see you. And he said, yeah, what? Okay, he went to his office. And he said, with other team members, other they are sitting. He never planned for it. He got to that office that morning, thinking of working. And he said, he's not a young man. And he said, we are sorry. The bank has closed up your department. That particular area, that job, we cannot continue with that assignment any longer. And therefore, we want to relieve you of your job. And he, with the team, and he said, thank God, praise God. His senior partner said, what's wrong with you? You said, praise God. He said, yes, praise God. He said, praise God. I said, what? What do you mean? What do you mean? He said, praise God. He said, after all, God brought me here. The God who brought me here knows that my time is up here. He's going to open another door. Ah, they were shocked. They expected him. They said, well, You can still come to the office for the next 3 months if you like. But even if you don't come, we'll pay you 3 months severance allowance. We'll pay you if you like, come. If you don't like, you don't come. Is that okay? He left that office. He started rejoicing and thanking God. He said, as he was driving home, suddenly the thought came to him. Your mortgage. You know, dear, people get easily homeless. It's so easy to become homeless. It's not in Nigeria that you go and park into your uncle's house. There's no uncle to park into there. It's so easy for people to become homeless. That's why you see people not because they are lazy. You see them homeless. They go and stay in homeless people's places. And he said, the thought just came to him. Hey, mortgage. This bill, no job. My wife is not working. Children are there. As if that was not enough. He said, as he got back home, the house he was staying is not their personal apartment. He was paying, and he had this, I remember I went to meet this woman, this elderly woman, who was his, who was their landlord. Very nice woman, like, where that become like family, very wonderful relationship. He said that next day, after he lost his job, the mother, that woman who was their landlady, just walked to her and said, "Bro, said I'm sorry, I want to leave this house in the next 1 month because my son is coming to town and I want to prepare the house for him. He has lost his job. Now his house. No money. Nowhere to go." He said at that point, homelessness was knocking on him. Nowhere to go. He said she wanted to grip him. I've been hearing of people becoming homeless. Is it becoming a reality to me? No job, no money. In the place where he was before, at least he would get some money for payment here and there, but nothing. The fear, but suddenly he remembered. Thought just came to him, and he began to say, "Father, thank you. Father, thank you." But he said it was not easy for him. He was managing, but he had to be using, you know, declaring, because he's a senior. He's been in the faith for so many years. These were people, this was a man who challenged me in my Christian life in those days in NIFES. So was the head of NIFES in different parts of the country in those days for many years. So he's a man I highly respect. So he said, at that reality was coming on him. In the midst of this, some people, brethren came, some people have already been arranging where they would distribute that. Some of his children, he said, one of his friends came to us and said, "Uncle, you know what is going to happen? You know, in this situation now, we have to face it." Meanwhile, he had gone to meet the landlady and told the landlady and said, "Ma, 1 month is too small for me. There's no way I can go within 1 month. At least give me 3 months." But the landlady accepted for 3 months. But even within 3 months, what will happen? Where will he go? No money to get an accommodation at that point. He said, in the process, some people came to him and said, what we are going to do, my own house cannot contain all of you, your children, 3 children, your wife. So what you do is that we are going to distribute your children. One should go to this family, your wife can stay with us, they distribute your properties. You know, in that place, you can go and look for a place to store. So they call them storage. You pay for it and carry. His wife had already gone to a place to go and pay for a storage where they are going to park all their chairs, all their beds, because you can't park this to another person's house. You just need to carry your bag. You just manage to find a place to sleep and wake up every morning. Now, where will you put all these things? So, went to look for a storage. They had already paid some amount, maybe about $50, to park these things at least there for 1 month. He said, in the midst of this, fear was gripping on him, but at the same time, he was rejoicing. Satan, you got a liar. I don't understand, but I want to put my faith into practice. I want to put my faith into practice. He began to rejoice and thank God. Then in the midst of this, one of the members of their fellowship, where they belong, they call it African Christian Fellowship. And just when she heard of what was happening, and said, Uncle this, please, look, come and buy a house. This house, somebody just told me, one of my clients just told me now that they want to sell this house, and this house is very beautiful, very good. I want you to get. He said it's like, she had to face the woman. Woman, are you crazy? Do you know what you are? Eh? Are you crazy? He said she didn't even know when she said it out of her mouth. He said it out of his mouth. But look, I'm looking for a place to even lay my head. I don't have money to do anything. You can say I should come and buy a house. From where? No job? Even where will I get it? The woman said, no, you can get it. From where? At that point, they closed that chapter. And he came again and said, if you can just get this particular amount, this insurance will cover it. Get this amount. Insurance, you know, there is insurance. Everything is insurance. Insurance will do it. Get this amount. And he said in the process, I think about the third day, the bank where he left just sent his severance allowance for 3 months. And the severance allowance came in, and it was enough for the minimum deposit for mortgage to be able to get a property. And immediately he called the man and said, the woman who called the other man and said, I have this amount. He said, are you sure? Because you need to have this amount. You need to have this from the bank to be sure that you have this amount. No, even if you have that money, listen to the trick. Even if you have that amount, mortgage will not still give you that loan. But they will not give you that property because they want to be sure that there's continuity. You have a job that will be taking you regularly. After he told that story, he said, he already have money. Then the problem is, what about the job? No mortgage will accept. Because they will tell you, where will you get the money to pay after now? All this thing happened within 2-4 days. Then lo and behold, the bank where he once worked, when he got to America some years ago, and he had the interview, I think it's UBA or so, they had the interview and they never accepted him. He said, suddenly, from one person met him and said, will you want to, can you work as a contract staff? He said, yes, I can. You know what happened? All he knew was that they called him from that bank that he wanted to go before, that they rejected him. They just called him that he should come to the bank. He went to the bank and he said, the CEO said, the man that called him said, are you this person? If you are this person, yes, you don't need to go for the interview. The CEO said, if this is the man that came for the interview that time, you don't need to conduct any interview for him. Just give him an employment letter. Look at fear. Look at what happened. And he said, lo and behold, the second day, they sent his employment letter showing his salary per month. With the salary, with the one the former bank paid him, he submitted it. Within 2 days, the house, we stayed in this house in California when we traveled. The house, no one will enter this house. They ask, how did this happen? A man who lost his job, lost his house, lost everything, within 1 month after it, he got into a beautiful house of his own. Beautiful house of his own. When the devil knocks at your door and tells you, no way, look at this report. Come on, take that report up and begin to dance and praise the Lord. Begin to sing and rejoice. Begin to rejoice. Because you need to know that God is a turner. God is a turner. He can turn situations around. Just friends, listen to it. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. Look at what the scripture says. It says, for whatever things were what? Written before. Were written for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the scripture, might have. Friend, look at it. If it has happened in this Bible before, it can be repeated. Look at it. That's what the scripture is saying. When you pass through challenges, check whether you have similar cases in the Bible. If it is you have similar case like yours, present the case before and begin to dance. We've seen people in the Bible that the creditors came to knock the door and said they wanted to take the woman and her son into slavery. God showed up for. We've seen people who got to the last point. It was as if it was over. Look at the children of Israel. By the sea, and the Pharaoh and his chariots were behind. On the left was the mountain, impenetrable mountain, impermeable mountain. On the right was the camp of the Philistine, the fort of the Philistine. In front was the Red Sea. Back, left, right, no way. In front, no way. And they cried. The Lord made a way where there seemed to be no way. He made a way. Oh, you made. When my back was against the wall. Hey! And it looked as if it was
over. You made a way.
Oh!
We're standing here only because you made a way.
Do you have doctor's report that said, oh, your case is beyond medical attention? Do you have it? Check in the Bible. The Bible says concerning Epaphroditus in the book of Philippians 2:27. He was sick unto death. Paul's prayer could not stop that death. He was dying. Paul had fasted, and yet this man was dying. They didn't know what to do again. But the Bible says the Lord had what? Mercy on him. Is it not in your Bible? The Bible tells us about a man called Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, in the book of Mark chapter 5, verse 22. He came to Jesus. He said, my son. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Verse 23. And he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter does what? Lies at the point of death. Is it not in your Bible? Who has the last say? Have you not seen in the Bible people who is like their destiny? That destiny was wrung from the birth, Jabez, and he became a blessed man. Have you not seen curses turned around? Have you not seen failure change? These things are written unto us as examples. When the devil knocks at your door and says no, you think, look, get strength, supernatural strength. Knowing that your trial produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Even though the fig tree does not blossom, nor there be fruit in the vine, the labor of the olive may fail, and the field will yield no fruit. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no heart in the store. Yeah! yet, in spite of it, I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will joy in Yeshua, who can turn things around. I will joy in Yeshua, who can move things again. I joy in the God of my salvation. Friends, look at it. Joy produces supernatural strength. Joy produces supernatural strength. Sadness, sorrow, dries up your strength. That's why the Bible says, in the book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, the spirit of a man, Proverbs 18, 22, 14 rather, Proverbs 18, 14, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. Your spirit, how high is your spirit? Medical science have even proved this. Joy produces, helps to produce hormone in your body that helps your immunity. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? The broken spirit, who can stand it? The easiest way to die before your time is to allow sorrow to take over your life. The easiest way, some people die before their time. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river.
Hey! I've got joy like a river.
I've got joy like a river.
Hey! I've got joy like a river in my soul.
I've got joy like a river.
I've got joy like a river.
I've got joy
like a river. Joy like a river in my soul.
Allow the enemy to tamper with your joy, you will get them back. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. You see why you have to be careful. It's not the drug that will sustain you. The spirit of man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear with broken spirit? That's why 1722 also, Proverbs 1722, a merry heart does good like medicine. It works like medicine. Joyous heart. 1722. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. A merry heart does God, doeth good like medicine. Doeth good like medicine. Friends, look at it. Joy does not deny challenges and trials. Does not deny it. But the fact is that joy produces strength that confronts the challenges. There is strength that flows when you are joyous that makes you to be able to confront these challenges. I've had many troubles in life. The one thing, those who know me, is that I don't allow anything to get to my head. So Sometimes people misunderstand me and think that I don't have empathy. No! No, I don't allow anything to get to my head. No! 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 There's a secret that there is strength that comes when you are joyous. Satan looks for an opportunity for you to be sorrowful because he wants to dry you, wants to suck your blood. Dry you up, suck your blood. You take all the medication, it doesn't work. You wonder why it's not working. Because your blood is drying up. In spite of the unimaginable suffering that Jesus went through. Unimaginable suffering that Jesus went through. You know what? He was strong. He faced all the challenges with uncommon strength. Even when they told him, they said, Herod is waiting for you. He said, go and tell that folks I'm coming. Go and tell him I'm coming. And let me tell you my timetable. I will be here today. I will be here tomorrow. And I will be in Jerusalem. Go and tell him. Don't get worried. There was strength in him. You know where the strength came from? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Because of the joy that was set ahead of him. Hebrews 12, 2. Because of the joy that was set ahead of him. Looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. The oil, I told you about the oil of joy. In Isaiah 61 verse 3. That the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me that I will comfort. In verse 3, it said, to comfort, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the tree of the Lord, the planting of the Lord, that the Lord might be glorified. Friends, look at it. The oil of joy is the anointing that makes you to be consistent in spite of the challenges of life. In the good time, you are joyous. In the bad time, you are joyous. Friends, it is not normal to laugh. Let's face the reality. It's not normal to laugh when you just discover that something happened to your business. It is not normal to not to frown your face and be sorrowful when you just have something happened to your child. It's not normal when you hear your result, the medical result. It's not normal. But there is one anointing that comes upon you that makes you to be consistent. Whether it is good or it is bad, you are in the keeping your position. Your joy is intact. Your joy is intact. Your joy cannot be corrupted. That's what is called the anointing of joy. The anointing of joy. The anointing of joy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. I'll preach good news to the poor. I will console those who mourn in Zion. And I will appoint for them beautiful ashes. The oil of joy. For what? Money. The oil of joy for money. Joy, I repeat it. It doesn't depend on your promotion. It doesn't depend on your payslip. No. Joy comes from the Lord. It's rooted in him. You know when the scripture says in that Psalm 126, and says, the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Go to verse 5. Psalm 126. Then our mouth was filled. Go to verse 5. Jump because of time. Those who sow in tears shall what? Friends, listen to it. Not reap with joy. Reap in joy. Not reap with joy. Reap in joy. Reap in joy. You cannot reap without being joyous. joy. It makes you to be constant. Nothing moves you. Nothing shakes you. Your joy is intact in the Lord. And I want you to determine, you got to be, like I told you last week, you got to be intentional about it. You got to be intentional that nothing will take away my joy, no matter the circumstance. No matter the situation, I will not allow anything to tamper with my joy. I'm going to focus on Him. It's Him, not man, not situation. My joy comes from Him. Rejoice in Him, in Him, in Him, not in anything. When you get to that point, you are intentional about it. You focus on Him alone. Begin to see the wonders of rejoicing. The wonders of rejoicing. When three nations came against Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah in those days, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, what did that prophet told them, Prophet Micah? Prophet said, hey, tell Jerusalem, tell Judah, Jehoshaphat, don't worry yourself. In verse 15, the battle is not your battle. The battle is the Lord. They didn't tell Jehoshaphat to go and appoint singers. He only told Jehoshaphat, the battle is already concluded. Hallelujah. Joy doesn't deny the reality that there's trouble. But joy sees victory even while the battle is still on. He sees the victory. Nobody told Jehoshaphat to go and appoint singers. Jehoshaphat decided to appoint singers. Then now we're going to sing. We're going to dance. We're not going to get moved about the situation. We can't fight these people with our strength. This is a battle. We're going to dance. Oh, we sing. His mercies endureth forever and ever. Don't singing His mercies. Singing. And suddenly, in verse 22, look at what happened in verse 2. Supernatural strength. God was at war. God stepped into the battle. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set what? Ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were what? Your joy puts your enemy into confusion. I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy. I still have joy. I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy. I still have joy. Hey! I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy.
Hey! I still have joy. I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy.
Learn to practicalize this thing. Let it go beyond hearing of the word alone. In the midst of that challenge, please just wake up. Wake up in the night and dance and just praise God. I choose to forget it and dance before the Lord. And even if you can, I keep saying, you don't need to be in the choir before you sing. Just whom something. Just whisper something before the Lord. And rejoice before Him. See God at work. See Him at work. See Him at work. He's the God who fights in the silence. He will go to places where you never expected. He will go to realms where you cannot enter. He will go to meetings where you don't even know they are holding meetings against you. He will go there and set confusion in their midst. He will walk. Just stand in your night. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God. I remember one night as I conclude with this testimony about the story of Graceland. I've told you some times ago. After we have met with the banker and the landowner, then it was Access Bank. We've gone this far. Access Bank was ready to give us a loan of about I think about 10 million naira. Or they're about 10 million naira. And we'd already gotten, not Asset Bank, Continental Bank. It was called Continental, Intercontinental Bank then. Am I right? Yeah. at Unity Road. We were already there and we were just at the last point for the man to sign the document. His document as the landowner, because the bank needed him to be there so that they will, because since we are getting loan and so on. So to sign the document, the man just said, well, meanwhile, we're made up our mind, we're not going to lie. We're not going to say we're going to just build a civic center, we're going to build this here. So we're going to have a church there. Other things will come in here. So our lawyer replied him, I remember Baba Dedele replied him and said, we're going to do this, we are going to have church, we are going to have this there. That is the issue of the. So don't worry. He said he was not going to sign. We've gone this far, all this while. Gone this far to even raise this money to get to this point. Oh my God. And the man said he will not sign. All the bank people pleaded with him. They talked to him, persuaded him. He said, no. He said, what is this property to him? He has this property in this one here, one in Lagos, one in Babuja, one in this and this. If not because I don't want this thing to happen. That's why I'm selling this property, blah, 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 blah. What? After all, he said, we should leave. We left the bank that evening. I think maybe 7 p.m. or thereabout. And my heart was heavy. Will I have gone this far and go back empty? Meanwhile, Baba said that he will do something, with get in touch with this and that and so on, because there was an issue on this, something that I cannot say publicly here now. He said he would do this, he would do that. And we all left. I got to the house. I went to my prayer room. I remember I just called one or two people and informed them this is the situation. As I was praying, Lord, thought came to my heart. Lord, like the Lord speaking to me. Why not begin to praise God? Begin to praise God. And in the night, that night, my study, and I began to praise God. God, there is nothing you cannot do. You are the Almighty God. You have never lost a battle. You wouldn't bring us this far and leave us here and go. I began to praise and sing to the Lord. And then after some time, I think I went to eat. I had my supper that night late. I think it was around 11 p.m. that night or so. I just received a call that the landowner said, was it that night or the next morning? That same night. It was that same night. The landowner said, that same man said, I think around 12 midnight, that man said, don't worry, come meet us in the next morning in the bank. We'll sign this document. What made him to change his mind? I know there's one God that rules in the heart of men. And you know the interesting thing? Even though from a different religion, when this man, after signing, within a few minutes, when he got to the bank, when he finished signing it, you know the interesting thing? The man said, Pastor, pray for us. And after it, the man kept on following. How far? Have you started the project? Make sure you start quickly. Start quickly. Even when my people, the committee, had the reason to travel to go and see him outside the town, he gave them refreshment, drinks, a lot of things. How can God just change the heart of a man? You think it is not ordinary? This is supernatural. Conqueror and overcomer, we are here through the blood of Jesus. Let's rise up as we pray.
Through the blood, God, we give.
I'm excited. Listen. Determine again today, from today. No demon can take away my joy. Tell your neighbor, say, no demon can take away my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Shout hallelujah. Give the Lord a turn around, hallelujah. You know what? As we round up, quickly, I'd like you to sing song from your heart on your own. Just lift up a voice and begin to sing. Sing a song on your own. Just sing and sing and sing to the Lord. For the next 1-2 minutes, raise up a song. Demonstrate that joy. Sing. Me, and I want you to, after it, you now expand it and turn it to your prayer. Say it after me. I receive the anointing of joy. Louder. To be consistent in joy all the time, whether in the good time or in the bad time, knowing that my God is able to turn things around for my good. Now open your mouth and thank him and say to him, I receive the anointing of joy. I receive the anointing of joy. I receive the anointing of joy. The anointing of joy. The anointing of joy. The anointing of joy. If your joy is intact, you will get it back. Nothing is lost for a man who is joyous. Nothing is lost. Your joy is intact. You will get it back. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I lift up my hand and I pray for everyone here this morning. I receive for you the anointing of joy. Amen. To be consistent all the time. Amen. No power of hell will be able to steal that joy from you. Amen. Let your joy continue to bubble. Amen. As you are joyous, everything that you have lost, you will recover them all. Amen. I stand in the name of Jesus. You will not be a victim. In the name of Jesus, I declare you will not be a casualty. I don't know, some of you already now, the devil has been knocking you down with sorrow, pain. You just think about life. It's like the joy has left your life. But today, as the word of the Lord was coming, the Lord was visiting you. And I say in the name of Jesus, that spirit of depression, that spirit of grief, that spirit of sorrow, I rebuke it and I command it out in the name of Jesus. it shall be well with you. Please just concentrate. Don't be distracted, just concentrate. Whatever has shut the fountain of joy in your heart, today, by the power and the Holy Ghost, I confront them in the name of Jesus. Leprakata Librakada Labasun Taliba. Ye prosataliba. De prosataliba. Taraba. Let your joy begin to break forth. 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 Now. I also stand as as a servant. Anything, whether they be sickness, whether they be bad news, whatever may be, that the enemy has been using to attack you. Today, I demand in the name of Jesus, like it happened to the three nations that came upon Judah, I declare, let their youth be destroyed. Let the grip of the enemy be broken. Let the grip of the enemy be broken. Holy Spirit, please visit your people. Visit them. Refresh them. Refresh their heart. Heal the broken heart. Bind up every wound. Let the healing anointing begin to flow. Let encouragement stir up in your heart. In the name of Jesus, it is well with you. And I pray for as many here this morning, you want to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I want to live a life of joy. Learn to live a life of joy. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to pray with you. You want to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. Jesus, I give you my life today. Pastor, please pray with me. Can I pray with you wherever you are? Lift up your right hand to God. Let me see the hand and I pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I'm not born again and I'm giving my life to Jesus today. If there's anyone here this morning, lift it higher than your head so that I can see it. Thank you, Father. Now I give you praise and I trust you. I believe you. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning again.